Let's talk about a few cases from your practice that maybe could help. You mentioned this woman already, which I think is very instructive, but maybe to get a better idea how you kind of your thought process as you think all these things through. I was going to start by asking you about your 80-year-old man.
Well, this is an 80-year-old man who lives in Queens. He's living with his wife independently at the moment. And fortunately for him, he has children in New York itself, which kind of helps. And he's coming in for treatment options, newly diagnosed myeloma patient.
How did he present?
He presented to his doctor for his routine follow-up visit, and he was noted to be anemic, and then he noted that the total protein was elevated. So further workup resulted in the diagnosis of multiple myeloma, and his major complaint was he's feeling tired. And feeling tired in an elderly patient is not uncommon, because if his hemoglobin had come back normal and his total protein was up, we will just say, well, you know, this is part of getting old. But this particular patient definitely had anemia and he had reason for feeling tired. Now we find out because his total protein was elevated.
Any comorbidities specifically?
No, he was living independently without comorbidities, and they usually do go to Florida too during the winter season, you know. So they are the snowbirds, they have a place there, etc. So they have been living independently so far. His wife is also 76.
Can you kind of review his workup?
Well, part of the workup was already done before the patient came to me, because as soon as that was noticed locally, he was referred to the local oncologist, who immediately did a diagnostic bone marrow aspiration biopsy, a skeletal survey, 24-hour urine, serum protein electrophoresis, quantitative immunoglobulin, beta 2 microglobulin, etc. So from the studies that they had done, only thing they had not done was serum free light chain, which we added once the patient came to our center. From the workup that had been done, it became very obvious that this patient had IgA, multiple myeloma, and he did not have significant Benjamin's proteinuria in the urine. Urine immunofixation was negative in this patient. Kidney function was normal. Creatinine was okay. There was no hypercalcemia. As I told you, he was an IgA myeloma. The beta 2 microglobulin was slightly elevated. I think it was 4. So he fell into the category of ISS stage 2 myeloma.
What about his skeletal survey?
His skeletal survey showed some lytic lesion in the skull and a few scattered lytic lesion, small lesion in his pelvis, but no pain, no pathological fracture. These were like incidental finding on skeletal survey that he did have lytic lesion, small lesions, nothing much to talk about. Because he had skull, he had some lesions in the pelvis, even by Dury-Salmon staging system. Even though his anemia was only 10 gram per deciliter, he would have been a stage 2A Dury-Salmon staging system. So this is how this gentleman presents to us.
Did you mention his FISH study?
Well, in this particular patient, the cytogenetics and FISH studies were done, and this particular patient had 414 translocation. He was an IgA lambda multiple myeloma. The clinical finding, even though he's presenting very innocuously, this patient did have some adverse features when he presented. But adverse features not in terms of comorbidity as much as adverse features in terms of FISH study results in this particular patient.
So what were the sort of options that you thought about and presented to him?
We talked about all the treatment options available. We talked about orally administered options, melphalan, prednisone, thalidomide. In this country, thalidomide dexamethasone is approved upfront and therapy. Then you have lenalidomide and dexamethasone. And then, of course, bortezomib, melphalan, prednisone combination. Now, this patient is in Medicare. There is a co-payment for lenalidomide, and this patient had no additional incomes coming in, and he was reluctant to pay too much out-of-pocket expenses at this moment. He and his wife were very concerned about that. So it is very difficult for me to say how a decision is arrived at the bedside. It is not just a matter of high risk, low risk, this, that, etc. Sometimes I wish it was all purely science-based. I think it is much more psychosocial, distance, comorbidities. So it is not strictly evidence-based medicine. It is also what the patient could afford sometime, the way it works out. So some patient may prefer lenalidomide dexamethasone, especially if it does not involve much of an out-of-pocket expense. But if there is a tremendous co-pay out-of-pocket expense, especially elderly patient on no new income coming in, what they are having in retirement, and now the stock market has gone down. See, that's why this one, even 2 months ago, 3 months ago, would not have been a major issue. Now, with all the stock market changes, elderly patients, senior citizen, people are very reluctant to pay too much out of
that's
their
interesting.
Pocket.
You think you've actually seen that change in your practice in the last 3 months?
Yeah, this is exactly
wow.
has happened. And in relapse situation, also, the patients are very cognizant about what they can and cannot afford, etc. So I think this is coming into our office. This is not something only you read in newspaper and you are completely making decision based on evidence-based medicine alone. We can always sit and discuss and two experts can disagree which particular drug he will choose versus the other. Like the case of Permanente physician I told you, I chose actually lenalidomide dexamethasone and that physician actually chose bortezomib doxil dexamethasone for the patient in California. So I do not know what exactly transpired with her and the patient in terms of choosing a drug. So it is not that simple. But all I can tell you is in this particular patient, because he had 414 translocation, IgA, lambda, etc., bortezomib, melphalan, prednisone is a good choice. And bortezomib being intravenously administered, etc., it would not have that much of a financial impact for the patient. And the patient can get the regimen close to home from his local oncologist. So everything still works out okay, ultimately, for the patient. But what I do want to convey is one theme is patients are all still benefiting. Nobody's care is being jeopardized. And the availability of more drugs has only made the physician choice better to tailor, not only taking into just the medical features or what you call as poor prognostic features or disease alone characteristic, but also taking into account individual patients' comorbidities, psychosocial, financial situation into account and give them the very best treatment.